It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Last year, Wisconsin and 16 other states joined a Federal Trade Commission lawsuit against Amazon. The suit alleges that Amazon has abused its dominance as an online retailer and engaged in monopolistic business practices. The lawsuit, which is ongoing, has unsealed some of the company's records, giving the public a better look at how Amazon has been operating. One thing we still don't know exactly how Amazon makes its money. Our next guest says the answer to that question will play a big role in how this antitrust case against Amazon plays out. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of Amazon? Do you find it affordable and convenient to buy stuff? Do you worry it's getting too big? Do you want to support small businesses only to find you have to go through Amazon anyway? Do you encounter Amazon as a vendor? Do you sell stuff via Amazon? Have you seen fees creeping up over the years? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stacey Mitchell is co-director of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, a research and advocacy organization that supports locally driven economies. Her research on monopoly practices at Amazon has been cited by Congress and used to inform the FTC ongoing antitrust lawsuit against the company. Stacey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
So nice to be here. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little more about this Federal Trade Commission and multi-state lawsuit against Amazon? What are some of the key features of what they're digging into here?
Well, this is a case about Amazon's monopolization of the online market. The case argues that Amazon has dominance online, that the company captures a huge share of online shopping search. So when people go online to search for things, they often start right on Amazon. And as a result, lots of small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses, basically any company that makes or sells a consumer product and wants to reach the online market essentially has to sell on Amazon. And the FTC alleges that Amazon uses that power and essentially locks in those sellers in ways that prevent them from selling effectively on other sites, and thus prevents the opening up of lots of competition online, and says that this hurts both businesses and consumers and effectively raises prices on all of us.
And Stacey, that's a key, as I understand it, to any antitrust suit. It's not just the bigness in and of itself of a company or its market dominance, but what it does with that market dominance, and if that is in some way unfair to trade. Is that really at the center of a case like this?
Yes, that's right. It's not illegal necessarily to be a monopoly, but it is illegal to use tactics to maintain that monopoly, to prevent competition from coming along. And that's what the government alleges that Amazon has been doing.
And to figure out exactly what Amazon is doing, you wrote in a recent piece, it's important to know how different divisions of Amazon are making their money, how much money they're making, and that's a little opaque, it sounds like, even after some documents came out as part of this lawsuit. Why is this such a tricky thing to figure out?
Well, strange as it may seem, we have no idea how Amazon makes profits and the scale of those profits for different parts of its business. Even though the company's been around for 30 years now, publishes a certain amount of financial information, it has very effectively kept secret the profitability of different divisions. So Amazon has, for a long time kind of cultivated this idea that it makes very little profit on its e-commerce platform, and that almost all of its profits come from AWS, its cloud division. But the FTC alleges that Amazon's online seller marketplace, its e-commerce platform, in fact, is, quote, enormously profitable, and says that this huge profits that Amazon is making on the site are evidence of its market power, that if there were competition, that those profit margins would naturally come down because there would be other companies coming into the market. And essentially what this hinges on is that Amazon, that the FTC says that Amazon, it has a lock on all of these sellers who essentially have to sell through its platform. And over the years, it's been steadily raising the fees that it charges those sellers. 10 years ago, Amazon's cut for a sale made by a third-party seller. If you sold $100 worth of stuff, you gave Amazon $14 in fees. Today, that has risen to a 50% cut, meaning one out of every $2 that sellers are making in revenue off Amazon's site, they are handing right back to Amazon in fees. And the FTC says that Amazon's margin on those fees are enormous, and that is a sort of key factor in the case that they've brought against the company.
Talking to Stacy Mitchell from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, looking at Amazon, big federal lawsuit. Wisconsin, as a state, joined in that lawsuit against Amazon for alleged monopolistic practices. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences as a consumer or vendor who sells via Amazon. Have you felt the impact of those rising fees? Do you want to get out? But they keep pulling you back in. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Stacy, let's stay with that third-party vendor now. So say, and this is a big part of what you buy at Amazon. It's not buying it from Amazon itself, but from somebody. So say I'm one of these third-party vendors. I'm selling stuff on Amazon. I see these fees keep creeping up over the years. So I might want to go and sell on another platform, my own website or something like that. What is stopping me from doing that?
Amazon uses two primary tactics to stop you from doing that. The first is that Amazon has a pricing policy that essentially says that as a seller, you can't offer lower prices on other sites without being penalized on Amazon. And so if you think about it as a seller, you know, as you noted, your natural tendency would be like, gosh, Amazon's charging these exorbitant fees. I can barely survive over here, if at all. And I have to keep raising my prices on Amazon in order to absorb all those fees. So why don't I go to another third party site, you know, another e-commerce platform, and sell my products there, maybe a platform that has lower fees, or on my own site where I don't have to charge those, where I'm not paying those fees. But what Amazon says is if their bots that, you know, crawl the web detect that you have a lower price on another site, they penalize you. They drop you to the bottom of the search results. They remove the buy box. And suddenly your Amazon sales vanish. And because Amazon is such a big share of the business of most sellers, they can't risk that. So what sellers do is when Amazon raises its fees, the sellers absorb those fees by charging elevated prices across the web. So they raise prices everywhere. And this is how consumers are effectively paying more. Whether you're shopping on Amazon or not, you are paying more because of those high fees. And effectively what happens is that, you know, instead of sellers being able to offer low prices on other sites, which would draw consumers and help to create more competition, Amazon maintains a lock on the market. And that set of tactics, the FTC says, is absolutely illegal, that it's a way to monopolize the market. And this case is designed to put a stop to it.
And that sounds like this would affect consumers and those higher prices you were talking about. But at the same time, it would be pretty much completely invisible to consumers, right? They would just see the same price wherever they tried to buy this stuff, Amazon or elsewhere, and think that's just the price.
Exactly. So what you have is, you know, this is not competition. This is not a healthy market because, you know, Amazon's exorbitant fees on sellers, you know, those would naturally, there'd be a downward pressure on those because in a healthy market, sellers would go elsewhere. They would offer lower prices on those sites that offered lower fees to them. They'd pass that on to consumers, and consumers would be like, hey, I can get this for less on this other site. And they would start to migrate, and that would force Amazon to cut its fees. I mean, that's the natural kind of price competition that we should see, but we're not in fact seeing that online. And that really gets to the heart of this case. But the other important piece of it is that, you know, it's not just about the harm that this does to us as consumers, but it's also about the fact that all of these small and large companies across the economy are really being stifled by this. You know, there's a reason that you know, so many small businesses are failing, finding that they can't succeed online because of Amazon's high fees. They're being essentially blocked from the online market, which of course is a growing part of how consumers are shopping. And so they are being locked out, going under, laying off people, a drag on their communities. And meanwhile, when you shop on Amazon now, you know, you see a lot of kind of, you know, fly-by-night sellers based overseas. I mean, there's just a lot of sort of junk and chaos on Amazon. And that's because a lot of legitimate, hardworking businesses actually can't succeed on the site because of Amazon's fees.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Gail is with us in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. I don't shop Amazon. I think Amazon is horrible. It has been forever. It's done so bad for the consumer and for small businesses. It's been terrible. But what else I have a question about is whether or not in the future, does your guest see that maybe we might have another class action lawsuit? Because Amazon Cloud is going to be the chosen for processing all navigation information for cars. All the new electric cars coming out, they're all going to be designed, and all set. There's going to be secondary features that are also going to be collected. All this information is going to be on Amazon servers, and it's going to be all personal information of the people who own those cars.
Gail, thanks a lot for the call. I've seen arguments, Stacey, even before that, whatever happens with cars, that accusations that Amazon uses its consumer data in some cases to compete against its own vendors. If we know Rob's products are successful on Amazon, Amazon could use that data, have their own store brand of Rob's product, undercut Rob, and then make money selling that and crowd out their own person. How Amazon uses its data, is that part of this or other lawsuits, Stacey?
That is absolutely something that antitrust officials are looking at as an element in this case as well. You know, I think it really raises this deeper problem, which is that when you have a company that isn't just doing one thing, but is a conglomerate that interconnects multiple different businesses, whether it's the cloud services, the online marketplace, Amazon's own retail division, its logistics operation, which is now delivering more packages than the postal service. They're making big moves into finance and healthcare. And what we see here is, you know, essentially that Amazon has been able to use its monopoly power online, the data that it gets from that, the enormous stream of profits that it gets from that, and then to give itself a built-in advantage as it moves into all of these other markets. And so, you know, monopoly power has a way of enabling a company to build dominance in all kinds of adjacent industries. And I think that that's a real concern as we look at Amazon and at least part of what this antitrust case from the federal government is trying to get at.
Gail, thanks for the call. We're talking to Stacey Mitchell, co-director of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, national expert on Amazon's alleged monopoly power. She's with us to talk about a Federal Trade Commission lawsuit against Amazon, what we're learning about how the company operates, because in part of that lawsuit, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you buy stuff on Amazon? Do you sell stuff on Amazon? Have you noticed the experience getting worse for you on either end of it? The money side of things getting worse? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Amazon and what we know about their business practices, how they make their money, whether they're using their market power at the expense of consumers and other businesses, including people who sell stuff via Amazon. Stacey Mitchell is with us from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy shopping at Amazon? Do you wish there were more options? Do you own a business that does some sales via Amazon, or have you steered clear of that? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers. Luann is with us in Madison. Luann, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to tell about my experience. My ebook is
being given away by Amazon for free. And I learned that other ebooks are being given away free also. And of course, that provides content for the reader that Amazon sells.
And Luann, did you allow that to happen? Did you consent to that, or was this a surprise to you?
Well, there was a contract that said that Amazon could change the price that I was asking, and I unfortunately went along with that, but changed the price. I did not mean give away for free.
Luann, interesting. I haven't heard of that happening. I've heard some other unpleasant experiences from ebook sellers on Amazon. Stacey, have you seen anything like that?
Yes, this unfortunately is the case within the ebook market. You know, Amazon is about 90% of ebooks, so incredibly dominant. They're about 50% of all books sold, you know, online and offline, 50% of the book market. And so what we have seen is that authors are being squeezed. I mean, when you have, you know, only one intermediary company between, you know, dominant intermediary between authors and readers, you tend to see a situation where that intermediary can squeeze the income of authors. And in the ebook market, it's been, you know, particularly bad, where Amazon has really reduced the income of authors significantly. And, you know, raises, I think, some real concerns as well about, you know, the diversity of ideas and the diversity of books that are able to be published. Because when you've got, you know, one company that is essentially, you know, steering us to its bestsellers and its and the things that it wants to showcase, you know, you've got a narrowing of the range of books that people buy, and that leads publishers to organize themselves around what is it that Amazon is going to sell, and to say no to other types of books. It just reduces, you know, this reduction in marketplace diversity has all kinds of effects up the supply chain, including on incomes, but also on the range of authors that can successfully, you know, make a living publishing books.
Luann, thanks for sharing that with us. Tanya joins us now in Stevens Point. Tanya, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
So I noticed, my daughter pointed out to me that if you have an Amazon Prime membership, the prices on Amazon Prime for products are actually higher on some of the products than they are on if you don't have an Amazon Prime membership. So they're adding that shipping cost in there. Even though you have a membership, they're faking you out because they actually are adding extra money onto your every purchase. Not every purchase, but if you look at it, if you have you and a friend of yours or a family member that doesn't have Amazon Prime, do the search, you'll see.
Tanya, thanks for the call. I've heard this at least anecdotally, Stacey. I don't know if that's across the board. Do we see variations in the prices Amazon might offer in different circumstances, in this case, Prime members or not, for their prices?
There's been some reporting that shows that Amazon's algorithm that chooses, you know, which offer is shown in the buy box. So the buy box is when you're on an Amazon product page and it says, you know, add to cart or buy now, there is a particular seller that has been chosen automatically. Now, if you dig down deeper, you can elect to choose a different seller if you like, but there's a particular offer that Amazon has chosen. It might be an offer, you know, it might be its product, it might be a third-party seller's product. And the algorithm appears to favor sellers that, you know, products that are Prime eligible, meaning sellers that are using Amazon's logistics, its fulfillment, order fulfillment, and warehousing and shipping service. Sellers that subscribe to that are much more likely to be in the buy box. And the result of that is that, you know, some sellers that may be offering a lower cost, even including shipping, might be more buried in the results and not show up in that buy box. So I imagine that might be what the caller is experiencing. But it raises a kind of broader issue, which is, you know, Amazon, and this is very much part of the FTC's monopolization case, Amazon has built this enormous warehousing and shipping operation, and it compels sellers to use that. If you don't use that, you're not eligible for Prime, and you're really, you're going to have much, much lower sales on Amazon as a result, because it prioritizes Prime products. But you know, for many sellers, they are not getting the lowest shipping costs through Amazon. They might prefer to use another option, but they're unable to. And because they have all of their inventory tied up in Amazon's warehouses, the FTC alleges that that's one additional way in which sellers are then kind of impeded from being able to build their sales on other sites. This is another way Amazon essentially uses its logistics to kind of lock them in and prevent competition from other e-commerce platforms.
In our last minute and a half or so, Stacey, what is the remedy being sought in this lawsuit? A lot of times when you think of a monopoly lawsuit, you think, oh, is it going to break it up into component parts? Mm-hmm. Not always. What are the outcomes that the FTC and others are looking for here?
Well, at this stage, the FTC has said, we want this case to go to trial. We want the judge to determine whether Amazon broke the law. And then we want to, the second phase is coming back and the FTC laying out then what it thinks the judge should do about, you know, any law violations that it finds. So the FTC has not been very detailed at this stage about what it's seeking, though it has said that it is seeking, you know, all manner of relief, including structural remedies, which, you know, refers to the idea that potentially what needs to happen here is that Amazon does need to be broken up into several companies in order to remove the kinds of conflicts of interest that have given rise to its kind of grip on the e-commerce market and open up the market to competition. We haven't seen breakups much in recent decades through antitrust lawsuits, but they used to be more common. And there's good evidence that, you know, this would not make Amazon go away, but it would Amazon would continue to be part of the market, but they would, you know, effectively have to compete on the merits, and we would see more competition as a result. And there's a lot of history of these cases that show that those kinds of breakups are actually can be very beneficial and lead to new innovations as well as benefits from both consumers and other businesses.
Stacey, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Stacey Mitchell, co-director of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, a group that supports locally driven economies. We've been talking about the latest antitrust lawsuit against Amazon, what it could mean for the future of the company and consumers. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.